The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sky's the limit. I think the biggest thing is staying healthy. And you know, we all are right now, and at least for the most part. And we're gonna be really good. So I think we're gonna shock a lot of people, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Monday, March the 26th, 2018. Opening day just a few days away. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check out the show all the time at MetsMemorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you can get the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. Check out our friends over at The Grueling Truth, which are also part of the iHeart Radio Network. Hope everybody's doing well, and I guess you could say this is our official opening day preview show. And joining me in just a couple of minutes is a good friend of the show. You guys know him from Gotham Baseball, Gotham Baseball Magazine, GothamBaseball.com, Mark Healy. He joined us a few months back. He also moderated the Queens Baseball Convention, and for those who are not familiar with that, every January, I guess I would call it the Comic-Con for Mets fans. So Mark will be joining us, and we will be previewing the 2018 Mets. So after really a slow winter with very little hot stove news that popped up a little bit after the new year and a spring training that I think went by fast, but I think spring training in general starts to drag after a certain point. The baseball season is here. The 2018 baseball season is here. It is year number three of the Talking Mets podcast, year number three of the affiliation with our good friends over at MetsMemorizedOnline.com. And it's been a blast. And every year I think the show evolves and we have tons of fun, and I hope you continue to enjoy it. The numbers indicate that more and more people are enjoying it, and that makes me happy. And we'll see what the 2018 season entails and the story, the soap opera, the narrative. And that's, I guess, where I'm going to start before we get to Mark, just set it up here. It's funny how everybody, every writer, every publication, whether it's Sports Illustrated, which is predicting the Mets to make the playoffs, or various writers giving their two cents on who's going to win the division, you know, how the Yankees are going to be the best offensive Yankees team since the 61 Yankees, how Judge and Stanton are going to hit more home runs than Maris and Mantle, or whatever prediction you see out there. You know, that's not really what this show is about. I'm not going to sit here and make predictions and tell you who's going to win the East, who's going to win the Central, who's going to win the West, who's going to win the wild card, because truthfully, none of us knows. And I don't think a lot of you, even in the worst-case scenario, would have predicted the Mets to win 70 games last year. I don't know how many of you back in 2015 would have predicted the Mets to win the pennant and go to the World Series. So to do that exercise, to hear my opinion, because I don't know, is pretty worthless on that. And I'm not going to spend an hour of your time wasting your time with those kind of predictions, who's going to be MVP, things like that. What I will say is this, and how I would preview the 2018 Mets. I think spring training for me was not about wins and losses, although it's nice to see a team win and see them play well. It was a little bit about the pitcher staying healthy. And for the most part, mission accomplished, Jason Vargas notwithstanding, and that was a freak injury. It really wasn't about introducing any of the new faces like Frazier and Adrian Gonzalez and Swarzak and guys like that, or reintroducing a Jay Bruce. It really wasn't about that. To me, the theme and what I was looking for was, what's this new management team and coaching staff all about? Is this a coaching staff that shows the signs of being a competent coaching staff? The thing, and I've said this, and maybe you're tired of it, but it's so important. And to me, there's really no other theme at this point in the year that should be focused on other than the fact that the Mets over the last 7 years have been vastly mismanaged on the pitching side, on the managerial side. And that's not the only reason they haven't had success or have had losing records, but it's been a big part. And I think it's been underplayed by the media. I think it's been underplayed by the fans. I think it's been underplayed by the Mets upper management team as well. And I think if you really got them in a room with some truth serum, you would have them tell you that as well, one-on-one, off the record, things like that. For Sandy Alderson to make a comment on WOR last week about how, although players are getting sent down, the messaging of that demotion has been positive enough where they're not walking away scratching their head, confused about where they stand with the organization. That, to me, as innocuous or maybe as something that you would just process and throw away while you're listening to a program about Sandy and the Mets and what he has to say about the team. To me, that tells you all you need to know about what the issues were. It was communication, was discipline, was accountability. There is no surprise that the media, everybody's been talking about accountability, been talking about structure, been talking about process with this team, because for so long, even when they went to the World Series, none of that has been areas of strength for them. And all you heard over the course of the last few years is how the veterans will manage the clubhouse. They're a second-half club. Things will come together because they always come together for this club. And, it really was nothing more than that. And it is so much more than that, because any good coaching staff, any good organization has good process. And for Sandy Alderson, a guy who prides himself on process, a Marine, a disciplined individual, to be running a ship here, for lack of a better word, that has been lacking process, been lacking discipline, been lacking structure, been lacking communication, really is astonishing. And we know why it went on so long, because the guy who signs his checks was okay with it. And I think throughout the spring, you saw how things are going to be a little bit different. Now, Mickey Callaway has a ton to prove. Dave Island has a ton to prove. But you have to be encouraged. You have to be encouraged about how the discipline has been. Mickey Callaway and Dave Island both have not been afraid to call these guys out, specifically Island the other day, regarding Zach Wheeler, and basically saying, hey, you don't, in a nutshell, paraphrasing, you have to perform at this level. They certainly understand their role in helping the guys prepare and get better. But at the end of the day, it's about the players. Now, you'll say, well, Mike, wasn't that essentially what Terry Collins and Dan Worthen or any other manager in baseball, isn't that what they espouse to these players? And the answer is not all the time. Not all the time. I think you have to remember you're not dealing with all the times mature adults. You're dealing with some guys in their early 20s. Think about where you were as an individual in your early 20s, mid-20s, even late 20s. And that's why the adults in the room have to set the tone. And it's not just about being this overseer who manages the media. It allows the veterans who are their colleagues, no matter how much time they have in the game, do the heavy lifting. It's about setting the tone and setting the expectation. And I think the Mets of 2018 right now are going into the season knowing that in order to keep a roster spot, you have to perform. In order to maintain status in the lineup, you have to perform. You're accountable for putting the time in to get yourself prepared to go out there and execute as best as possible. Does that mean you're going to win? No. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean that everything that you do is going to be approved by this management team? That the process you go about is perfect? No. What it means is that you're putting yourself in the best position to win. And that is all anybody in any sport, especially a sport with 162 games over 180 plus days where you could do everything perfect. And that ground ball in the ninth inning takes a bad hop and goes into left field and the winning run scores. And you say to yourself, but I made the right pitch. But you know what? More times than not, that scenario won't be the outcome because good process will more than likely, not all the time, lead to good outcome. Bad process that leads to good outcome, yeah, that'll happen, but that'll run out. You saw that with the 2017 Mets. And I think right now the Mets are trying to employ good principles, good process. They have a manager that's still learning on the job. And that was really where this will all come into play, where you will see whether or not Mickey Callaway could handle this. How is he going to manage the bullpen? How is he going to manage the day-to-day scenario with the interactions with his roster, the drama that comes up? How is he going to continue to deal with the media? This clubhouse seems to be, so far, filled with some professionals. They've imported some guys. Like I said, they re-imported Jay Bruce. I think Todd Frazier is a professional. I think you got some really good guys in that clubhouse looking to go out there and win. I know David Wright, who is the captain and has been the leader, is not going to be in that clubhouse. So we have to stop talking about how much they miss Wright. Now they need to rely on guys like Todd Frazier and maybe Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto. And I know everybody rags on him, and he's had some times in his career where he's been a bit of a divisive clubhouse guy, Adrian Gonzalez. Can the catchers, Darno and Plawicki, step up and be on-field and off-field leaders? Is Shubel Cabrera going to worry about his playing time, or can he step up and be a leader as well? Jose Reyes, who's been in the game a long time, even if he's not, is more of the emotional leader or the guy that's always been the energizer bunny out there, what kind of leadership can he provide? Can he help some of the young Latin guys like a Rosario? There is enough guys on this roster that have been around long enough and this may be their last shot. There's no guarantee for a Gonzalez or Reyes for next year. Ask some of the veterans that did not get jobs this winter. You think Matt Holliday, who played for the Yankees last year, was expecting not to be on a roster? You think Jose Bautista, who's a guy that was hitting home runs and was just 2 or 3 years ago in the playoffs, and making news with his flip bat, you think he was planning on being home right now? So things change pretty quick. And the only prediction I have for you is that I think that it'll be a season where whatever we say and talk about now probably won't be a theme in October. And there'll be lots of things in between that there's no way we'll be able to predict or know. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think the Mets are going to put themselves in a position where I believe, to borrow that old cliche, that corny cliche from Fred Wilpon, they'll be playing meaningful games in September and maybe meaningful games in October, at least maybe one meaningful game. And in a short series, if this pitching staff is healthy and the Mets can get to that 5-game or 7-game series, I like their chances. That doesn't mean they're going to win. It doesn't mean I'm going to guarantee they're going to win. And if they play the Nationals or the Cubs or maybe even the Milwaukee Brewers, certainly the Dodgers, maybe the Giants, any of those teams in a short series, they could absolutely pull it out. I could also see that series being one where that they come out on the short end. So, yeah, am I playing the fence here? Absolutely. I do believe the Mets are a team that can win 88 to 90 games at least. I think they fall into that, providing they're healthy. I think they'll fall into that range. I think they can go north of that. Some things have to go really well. Some things have to really fall into play, and they have to stay really healthy. And right now, none of us can predict that here on Monday, March 26th. We just can't. And to say that we can and to do those exercises to me is an utter waste of time. It's just it's not something that I feel makes for really good radio, and not something that I'm really interested in doing. So to me, that's really where it's at. The roster, you know, has some very, you know, and I'll end on this before we get to Mark. I think spring training brought up some really interesting individuals on the roster. I think the Phil Evans story, a guy who, you know, really had no shot, it looked like, to make the roster and went out there, made himself versatile, playing multiple positions, hit in spring training. I call it kind of the Darren Reed Award, right? You know, who's the guy in spring training that stands out? And the reason I call it the Darren Reed Award is because Darren Reed was a prospect with the Mets. They actually acquired him from the Yankees back in the 80s when they traded Rafael Santana. And Darren Reed would always hit in spring training. And I actually had him on my WGBB show many, many years ago. And no matter how well he performed in spring training, one or two things would happen. He'd get sent down, usually because of injury, and secondly, because of numbers. He was always the 26th best player on a 25-man roster. And it always, for me, was what I would call the guy in spring training that would play well, probably wasn't meant to make the roster, would perform. He'd get sent down, and then that's it. You probably wouldn't hear from him unless there'd be a possibility for a September call-up or to sub in when, you know, there's a need, a two-week need because of a disabled list. Well, Phil Evans actually made the roster. Jacob Rahm made the roster. So they may have won the Darren Reed Award for standouts in spring, but they're here. They're not going down to, back in the day, it was Darren Reed was getting sent down to Tidewater, which became Norfolk. They're not getting sent down to Vegas. That's what it is. And one more year of Vegas. So one more year of Vegas. So the, no, you know, those two guys who would be the Darren Reed recipients are going to be on the opening day roster. And Zach Wheeler's not. And I think you heard the comments by Dave Island, and rightfully so. But you're going to see Zach Wheeler. You may see Chris Flexen. You're going to see a bunch of these guys. The Mets are going to need way more than the five starters and the eight, you know, the additional, you know, eight relievers. And they're going to need more than the 12 to 13 pitchers that you're going to see over the first couple of weeks of the season. It's going to take a lot more than that. I think this team is prepared. I think if they're in the race, I think they'll spend some money to import what they need. And I keep saying this, and you know, forget the help for a minute, forget the manager. Those are certainly the keys or the linchpins of what can be a successful season. But I am really curious to see how Callaway manages this bullpen. You got two guys that have closed before, so how do you manage that? You know, you've got a situational lefty. Like Blevins, that you're going to need to – you only have one lefty coming out of that pen. Now, Fernando Abad was signed, so possibility exists that they could get a second lefty. More than likely, maybe a Jacob Rahm would get sent down, or if Gazelman was needed to be stretched out or wasn't starting. You know, I think eventually having two lefties in the bullpen, especially in the starts where you only get five innings where you have to navigate a Freddie Freeman type a couple of times throughout the late innings, that is helpful. So maybe that'll be something that to look for. But ultimately, what I'm looking for is how that bullpen is managed. And it has not been managed well for the better part of maybe 15 years. Maybe Willie didn't do that bad of a job. But it's been a long time since we've seen good quality bullpen management, no matter how good the arms are down there. And I will always say this. Forget the names on the baseball card. Forget the names on the back of the jersey with bullpens. Yes, talent does play a large part into a solid bullpen. But I have seen, go back to some of the old St. Louis Cardinals rosters. Look at the 2006 Cardinals bullpen. There are some good names in there, but there was also some guys that never really did much after. And Tony La Russa made the most out of that. You can make the most out of a bullpen if you put guys in a position to succeed, in the right position to be successful. And you know, that comes with preparation, that comes with being open and honest with these guys about what you expect from them, and that all starts in the managerial office. And so far, Mickey Callaway has shown a lot of interesting attributes. I think Dave Island has shown to be the solid top-tier pitching coach that you thought you were getting when you brought him on, who's had success with the Yankees and the Royals and has won a couple of championships. So I'll leave you guys with that. I'm going to take a quick break. When we return, it will be Mark Healy, Gotham Baseball, Gotham Baseball Magazine. We dive into the 2018 baseball season opening day, just a couple of days away. Noah Syndergaard will be taking on the St. Louis Cardinals on Thursday. The journey begins. The excursion begins. The marathon begins. And we'll be here every week to take a look and discuss what's happening, react to it, do a few features along the way. I'm sure there'll be some cool books coming out this year. I'm sure there'll be some cool guests that we can get on. And year number three of the Talking Mets podcast, really now, it has always begun because we do it all every week, but I guess we're really, after the break, kicking off, as we preview opening day, we're kicking off the baseball season, the 2018 baseball season officially. You're listening to the Talking Mets podcast. I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check out the show all the time at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can get the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever podcasting service you desire, and check us out also at The Grueling Truth, which is part of the iHeartRadio network. We'll be back with Mark Healy of Gotham Baseball Magazine right after this.
Hey, Mets fans. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you're looking for the best unbiased and independent coverage of the New York Mets, then look no further than MetsMorizedOnline.com. Mesmerized Online is the go-to place for comprehensive Mets coverage, including exclusive interviews, daily original articles, great weekly features, in-depth analysis, minor league reports, game-by-game breakdowns, and so much more. Find out why thousands of fans turn to Mesmerized Online every day to get the latest news and opinions about the Mets. Coming from an impressive staff of the most passionate fans and skilled writers ever assembled, all in one place. Check it out for yourselves, Mets fans. Go to MetsMorizedOnline.com right now. That's Mets, M-E-R-I-Z-E-D, online.com, and get Metsmerized today.
We're back, and joining us, let's kick off the 2018 baseball season with our friend from Gotham Baseball, Mark Healy. You could check him out on Twitter at Mark C. Healy. And Mark, another baseball season. What baseball season number is this for you? I've been pretty much watching since, I'm going to say 87 is when I was 10 years old, and I guess you could count that as the first one. But I know you're a little bit more long in the tooth when it comes to being a baseball veteran. What baseball season opening day is it?
76. 76 was my first season of really watching.
Season.
Yeah.
Very underrated Mets season. I mean, they didn't come close to winning the division, but not a bad team there in 76.
No, definitely not.
So give me an opening day. Before we get to this team, give me an opening day memory. When you have opening day, you know, whether it be on the road, it's obviously at Citi Field on Thursday. Is there a memory, is there a thing, is there an event that always comes to your mind when you think of opening day, and obviously will come to your mind Thursday morning when you wake up and you know that Mets baseball's back and baseball's back in general?
Opening day memories for me, my number one is when Seaver came back in 83. I still don't, I mean, look, I've been to a ton of opening days, I've watched a ton of opening days. But the most exciting for me was to see Seaver walk in from the bullpen and, you know, see him back, you know, in a Met uniform on the Shea Stadium, you know, mound. That to me, you know, it was a great game. You know, he struck out, I think, Pete Rose a couple of times, one time looking. Doug Sisk actually came in, I believe, and finished the game. And, you know, back then in 83, I was a big Doug Sisk fan. So, you know, but I just remember that game. I enjoyed that game. I was so excited to see Seaver back. So that's probably my, you know, that's probably my big opening day memory.
That's for sure. It's been so many. And, you know, I actually was at the game when Ordóñez threw, was it Royce Clayton out from his knees? I remember being at that game. And you know what I always remember about that opening day was when you saw Ordóñez play short, even I was in the upper deck, last row, the athleticism, it was something you never really had seen before at that point. I always remember that. I mean, just watching him from above and how quickly he moved, it stood out to you. And, of course, that's 96, so that's the the end of the strike and everything like that. So, you know, moving forward, spring training just ended, and for me, it wasn't about wins and losses. It wasn't about, you know, anything but, okay, can this team stay healthy? Can this rotation stay healthy? And for the most part, they did. Jason Vargas notwithstanding, and Vargas was a bit of a freak injury. But it was about looking to see what this new regime, Dave Island, Mickey Callaway, how would they handle this team? This, you know, how would they introduce themselves to New York? And look, I don't think they've done things that aren't basic principles of being a good staff. But you have to be somewhat impressed that what Callaway said during the press conference, he's tried to implement thus far. Now, whether it will continue is another thing. It also, I think, sheds light on how, I think, bad things were at times with the prior regime, which I guess I'll let you get into. So what are your thoughts? Like, what are you looking at this now, opening day? I feel like, at least from a management standpoint, it was a successful spring from that point of view.
Well, look, I'm going to totally agree with you, and you know that I am totally agreeing with you because we have discussed this many times before. The prior regime was awful at getting more out of less. There was such a it just seemed that the only time that Worthen and Terry Collins were getting anything out of this club was when, you know, they were bullying teams, you know, when they had, you know, a healthy Syndergaard on the mound, a healthy Harvey on the mound, and, you know, a healthy Cespedes hitting bombs. You know, yeah, it's great. You know, you look a lot smarter when, you know, that type of thing is happening. However, you know, when there was, let's be honest, outside of 2015, I mean, they were lucky to make the wild card game, you know, the play-in game in 2016. 2015, I mean, they, you know, that was no management feat. I mean, that was just, you know, good players being healthy and great pitching staff, powering them, you know, past everyone. But let's be honest. I mean, Callaway and Island, I mean, what Island said the other day about Zach Wheeler, you know, you want to talk about, you know, someone whose analysis was spot on that really this team hasn't seen in the organization since Wally was here, because Wally could be, not only be right, but have his analysis make, you know, a tremendous amount of baseball sense. So I've been impressed with Callaway. I think he's let Island do his thing, even though he's a pitching coach as well. And I just love what I've seen out of certain guys. It just seems that it was not – there could have been a lot of nonsense, you know, just because of Tebow being in camp and, you know, just the overall – kind of clown show that you know this front office can you know put together at times, but I really think that this, you know, especially, and DeSarcina is a guy that doesn't get a lot of credit, but I've heard raves about Gary DeSarcina as the bench coach, a guy who's organized, who's been running you know spring training and running workouts for the positional players. Heard raves about him, you know, and I just really like the approach. It just seems like we're not sitting on our hands and hoping for things to, you know, hoping for things to go well. It seems like, you know, these guys, this new manager, this new pitching coach, this new bench coach, have really kind of taken the reins and are, you know, at least right now, it looks, I'm very confident that they will have an overall positive effect on the roster.
Absolutely agree with that. Mark Healy, Gotham Baseball. Check out Gotham Baseball at Gotham Baseball on Twitter at GothamBaseball.com. I'm sure there'll be tons of stuff, season previews, things of that nature. Give me somebody that really stood out and surprised you in camp. Anybody that really you went into camp not thinking much about, and here we are, opening day, a couple of days away, and you're like, you know, that really was someone I never would have thought. Maybe not that they wouldn't make the roster, but that you would have been as engaged in their spring as you were.
The catchers, both catchers. You know, Darno and Kulwecki, who I've never really been enamored with either, really showed me that maybe it's because of the relationship that they have, you know, that they're good buddies. Maybe it's because they've been given a lot of, and this goes back to Callaway and Island, they've been given a lot of responsibility with the pitching staff, and that's the way it should be, frankly. You know, for me, that's why I was pushing for the acquisition of McCann a couple of years ago, because I really felt that this team needed, you know, a catcher, a veteran catcher to kind of come in and, you know, and take this pitching staff, you know, by the scruff of the neck and be like, hey, guys, you know, you pitch the game I call. You know, it's almost as if, you know, Warden had these guys thinking that they were all fancy pants, that they were like, you know, the kings of the hill, where really the catcher is the guy. You go back to Grody, you go back to, you know, Gary Carter. You know, the catcher runs the team. You know, the catcher runs the staff. The catcher calls the pitches. You know, the catcher is really part of the game plan. So from that aspect, I really think that, you know, the team is really going to benefit from that. And Pulwecki and Darno and the spring that they both had really makes me feel like, you know, that this team is at least going to be okay. And, you know, last year, at the end of last year, when they said that, you know, we're happy with our catchers, I was like, are you watching the same team that we are? But I'm really happy with those two guys.
And I heard Eduardo Perez say this on the MLB Network, and everyone used to argue with me on this and say last year, no, he's not calling pitches from the dugout. They're looking for signs. I think Dan Worthen was calling the game a lot.
No question.
I mean, if anybody argues that, I don't have to be down in the dugout or in the locker room. I mean, just watch the TV. And when I heard Dave Island on top of that say, we're going to pitch inside, anybody, and I know this for a fact, anybody who's watched the Mets since 2011 when Collins was here and going back before Worthen was not a pitch inside guy. Worthen was away, away, away. And as a matter of fact, Mark, and I'm sure you did this, you could have predicted the sequence of pitches from your couch late in games.
Pretty much.
And if you and I could do that, let me ask you, if you and I could do that with a beer in a hand or soda in the hand or whatever you're doing, what makes you think the other team isn't doing it or the hitter's not doing it on their end? And I think that's going to be a big difference because this team did not pitch inside, and I think Worthen called, I don't know the percentage, but a large majority of those games. And I think that hurts a catcher. It hurts the confidence of a Darno. And do I know for sure that he brought it up to the plate? I don't know, but can't help at all in his development.
Well, here's the other thing, too. You know, Worthen was not a guy that had this, you know, great resume of working with, you know, pitchers where he, you know, was a major league pitching coach winning all kinds of division titles and championships. You know, that's the other thing. It's like you're giving a coach the kind of currency that you would give him if he was, you know, someone who had won at a big, you know, big time level. I mean, he survived three managers. So I always questioned, and look, and I'll be the first one to say mea culpa, because I was pushing hard for the Mets to fire Rick Peterson and to bring in Morgan. I was one of those guys, and, you know, I regretted it as soon as I talked pitching one day with Rick Peterson. I knew, I said, wow, I'm a dummy, you know, and I even said to him, I said, Rick, you know, I apologize, you know, I thought Dan Worthen was the answer, and I thought you were part of the problem, not part of the solution. And, you know, he laughed, and he said, thank you for your honesty, and I know you have a relationship with Rick as well, so it's funny that, you know, here we are, finally getting a pitching coach with a pedigree who's been successful with, you know, more than one organization, and a guy who, let's be honest, if he hadn't, you know, done a couple of things he was supposed to be doing, he would have been, you know, the pitching coach still with the New York Yankees. So, you know, I really think that what you're saying is really true, that I really do think that Worthen tried to control the game, and I think Terry was so clueless about pitching, he deferred so much to Worthen. I really think you're going to see a really big change from that aspect of what happens, you know, with the New York Mets as far as their pitching staff going forward.
And Sandy Alderson said something on WOR on Friday about how even the players that, and I don't know if this is an indictment on himself as well, because I think he, you know, he plays part of it, but it's obviously the manager's the first to deliver the message, that any of the players who were sent down at least got the right messaging about why they were sent down. And it wasn't just, hey, you know, you're going down and we'll see you at some point this year, stay ready. And I got to think that ties into the manager, because communication and the Mark Carrig article, and we've done it and we've talked about it, that came out at the end of the year, talked about how the young players just felt disconnected. you're going to need more than 25 guys. You're going to need more than, you know, 12, 13 pitchers on the staff. You're going to need, you know, 35, 40, maybe 45 guys this year to help out. And if the messaging is there and if they know and they're ready to be called up or they know what they need to work on and they're – and just being honest, I think that's the thing, Mark. You've talked to a number of minor leaguers and big leaguers, and the biggest thing they'll always say is the BS that organizations throw at them, even veterans. And if you're honest with them, they may not like it, but they have to accept it and they'll respect it. And I think that really stood out hearing that. Sandy Alderson himself saying that, that's not code. That to me is a message, and that has to be connected to the prior regime. And that's a good sign early on. We'll see if it continues.
Well, I look, you know as well as I do, and if you remember a couple of years ago at the QBC when I talked about how and you know, a couple of people really kind of downplayed what I said, but it turns out to be 100% true, is that when Wally left the organization or was sent away from the organization, depending on who you believe, Terry Collins really lost his only person in the organization who he listened to when it came to player value. It was the only guy he trusted. It was Wally. You know, when somebody would come up, Wally would call Terry and be like, you know, this guy can do this, this guy can do that. Don't put him in this situation. Don't put him in that situation. And once Wally left, you know, Terry lost that. He completely lost that lifeline. And not that, you know, not that it was a situation that he could have controlled, but, you know, because we know Terry on more than one occasion wanted Wally on the coaching staff. And I really think that, you know, this new guy, DeFrancesco, who's the AAA, going to be a AAA with Las Vegas, supposedly he's a really good communicator. He's somebody that's worked with Alderson before, so there won't be as much pushback. But, you know, you and I are Wally fans. We thought that Wally was, you know, the best talent evaluator in the organization. I still kind of think that.
Sure.
But I know what you're talking about as far as communication, as far as guys being prepared. But again, you know, it comes down to there has to be teamwork within the organization, and you know, maybe with this new group that will have that. I don't have personally. I'm not a fan of Sandy Alderson or his front office. Now, I think he's a mixed bag as a general manager. I think he's a mixed bag as a leader of the field personnel. A leader of the front office. I know that everybody loves him, and he's a Marine, and they all love that narrative. But at the end of the day, I don't care about process. I care about results. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and I've said this before, you know, Steve Phillips won a wild card and, you know, and went to the playoffs back-to-back seasons, won a pennant, and lost the World Series. So, you know, I don't see. I mean, this is really the make or break year for Sandy Alderson as far as his Mets, you know, his Mets tenure is concerned for me. But at the end of the day, if you ask me, you know, where I am with this team, I'm very optimistic. I actually, you know, going into the season, I was very upset they didn't sign Joe Smith. I really don't love the fact that they chose Swarzak over Smith, you know, because then the Astros, of course, you know, signed Smith. You know, so for me, outside of that, I kind of like what they've done, you know, and I kind of like the team, and I'm actually optimistic about the season going forward.
Yeah, they got some grinders in that locker room, too. I think Todd Frazier brings a lot to,
sure.
to
yep.
that mix. Who's your biggest disappointment this spring? You know, who were you really are you really down on, whether it be someone who's on the roster or been sent down and you're
well,
really
I think disappointment,
about?
I think disappointment slash down on are two different things. Number one, I'm down on Adrian Gonzalez. I was kind of neutral about the signing because I did not want Duda back because I've seen enough of Lucas Duda and his .220 batting average with runners in scoring position. And you know, waiting for a guy who you know to drive in runs that doesn't. And I like Duda. My son likes Duda. My son's a big Duda guy, and he wanted him back. But, you know, I mean, I wanted to move in a different direction. I didn't think it was going to be Adrian Gonzalez, but I was kind of hoping that at least he would show something during the course of the spring to justify that signing. And I think that all the Mets fans that bemoaned the idea that they were interested in Adam Lind actually would prefer to have Adam Lind right now. As far as disappointed, Montero is the guy that I'm really disappointed about. Obviously, with the injury, you know, that kind of softens that blow as far as being disappointed. But I really thought that Dave Island, I thought good pitching minds could help Montero get over the hump. And, you know, it's just disappointing because I've rooted for that guy for so long. I've wanted him to perform so long. I really wanted him to be kind of, you know, a special late inning guy that would be kind of special. And it would be a nice little homegrown story that this guy overcame what he overcame. So, you know, those are the two guys. I'm not really down on anybody else. I think the Mets had a good spring regardless of the record. And, you know, I don't really put too much stock in win-loss records during the spring. And I really am not down on anybody because I think I liked what I've seen so far.
What do you think of Matt Harvey? Because he's always an interesting one. And can the Mets rotation still navigate, let's say, a Harvey that potentially pitches like he did the last couple of years and collapses? You think they have enough depth? The Harvey's the interesting one.
No, I think he'll. I actually think he'll be solid. I actually think he'll be solid. I think that he has a lot to pitch for. I think that I think if he gets off the, you know, the beaten path, that Island will beat him back onto it. I've never been a huge Matt Harvey guy, and I've never been down on him when he wasn't battling, when he wasn't playing well. So, you know, for me, I take it as it comes. You know, I'm the kind of guy who didn't care that he went to the Yankee game. I'm the guy that doesn't care that, you know, that he has this page six, personality. At the end of the day, when Matt Harvey's pitching well, I really don't care what else he does. You know, as long as he's pitching well and is getting the ball every fifth day, you know, to me, I really think that Matt's is the key to the rotation anyway. You know, having that lefty that can, you know, mix really well with the other two righties in DeGrom and Syndergaard, to me matches the difference between this team pushing to win 90 games and this team falling apart. I know everybody has a different, you know, theory of that, but to me, the lefty is the key.
All right, so I hate predictions, but everybody makes them. They're like, you know what? What do you got? 88 wins, 90 wins, wild card.
I got 90 wins. I've already picked them. I've already picked them to win 90 games. I'm going to stick by that. You know, to me, if you're going to pick them to win 88, what the hell is the difference? You know, pick the nice round number. 9 is my lucky number.
Hey, the guys at FanGraphs would take a lot of issue with that with you, Mark.
Because,
it is the wins above replacement.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
I still remember us talking about VORP. You know, it's funny that we really didn't like that stuff back in the day, and I sound like an old fart. It's only like 10 years ago, but it actually, some of it's not bad, but it's...
No, definitely not. I have so many friends in that industry, whether it's, Saris, whether it's, you know, the fantasy guys and, you know, it's just, you know, for me, I look at it and I use it when it suits me because that's how they do it, you know, because...
Hey, they got that. I remember, Mark, I'll always tell you this. I remember accusing them back in the day. I said, you guys are all looking for jobs. Oh, you! How can you say that? We're seeking
the truth.
This isn't about jobs. They were all looking for jobs.
God bless them, they got them.
Right. And you know what? God bless them, they got them. I have nothing against them. Just be honest about who you are. You know, off non sequitur and things like that. But Gotham Baseball, so I know you've been more active there. I know you've been on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You've been doing the fantasy thing in the past. So what's going to come up in 2018 with the magazine, online, obviously Twitter account, Gotham Baseball, at Mark C. Healy? You got your
really
own...
I can't really talk about some of the projects that we're working on because they're all being reviewed. But we have some stuff cooking for this year for the Gotham Baseball brand that is going to be really exciting. I can talk about the fact that there's a book project that is going to be, I'm just reluctant to talk about it because we haven't, you know, nothing's been signed and nothing's been, you know, but there's some exciting stuff happening. You know, the logo redesigned by Todd Radom, the great Todd Radom, was just the first piece of what could be a very special year in 2018 for Gotham baseball. So, you know, we've got Gary Armida, your old friend, you know him well. Shai Kushner's been writing for us. Mets Daddy, the blogger from Mets Marais, he's been writing for us. You know, and we have some partnerships that are up in the air that we haven't decided yet what we want to do, because it's really right now the workload is just, you know, it's just really insane right now. So we're just trying to let the season start, kind of soft launch some stuff, but people should be keeping an eye on Gotham because there's really exciting stuff.
And maybe the Subway Series will get some juice back, you know, in the spirit of Gotham, which is about not just the Mets, it's about New York baseball, past, present, and future. Maybe get some juice back to the Subway Series with the Yankees. I know Greg Bird is out a little bit, but Yankees have a lot of expectations. It's been a while since you really could get into that. Maybe a good 6-7 years, maybe? Maybe more, Mark, that thing is really – it's lacked the juice for a long time.
I think it's lacked juice. I think it's lacked juice since Piazza left, to be honest, because that was the last time they were really, you know, and I think that this team, just based on, you know, the way that these guys are, I think this team is going to play with a chip on their shoulder. And I think they've missed that. And I think that, you know, a healthy Cespedes will allow them to play with more of that chip and not the Carlos Delgado, we're so good, it's boring chip, you know. Yeah. A guy who would shy away from a collision or you know, God forbid he ever ran down hard to first base. I mean, Cespedes isn't Mr. Hustle, but he's fun. Carlos Delgado was never fun. He was an impact bat, and he was a guy that you hated to root for. But, you know, I think at the end of the
depends. Today's day and age, they actually would make him a hero. So let's remember
yeah, I
that.
Guess.
I guess. And who knows if people are picking up on that? You're gonna get us in trouble there. Next, you know, you're gonna talk politics. Well, what about your newspaper? You got anything about the newspaper? I know you're over in the Rockaways. Anything about that?
Well, we have the, and that's really one of the reasons why the workload is so high. We've got we're celebrating our 125th year this year, so we've got a big, you know, 100-page. 125th issue that's coming out, if not next week, the week after. So, you know, so that's a big deal. But that's, you know, that's the day-to-day happenings of what's happening in Rockaway Beach, which is, you know, up and coming since Sandy and really a great place to work. So we got that cooking, and, you know, it's just going to be an exciting year. 2018 is going to be a big year. I turned 50 in June, so... you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Look at that. You have to have a big birthday bash at Gotham
Outlet. We'll see.
All right. Well, you get going. Looking forward to it. Let's catch up during the season. Always having fun, and be well, my friend. All right.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Mark Healy, Gotham baseball, fun stuff. Really interesting. Interesting take. You know, like I said in the open, I'm not into predictions, but you do feel good about this team, about certain aspects of this team. I, you know, not to say that it's not going to be a season without its ups and downs. I think it might be a team with a bit of a feast or famine offensively. If the pitching staff stays healthy, I really feel good about the starters. And I always think that it comes down to the bullpen, and we'll see. Can they stay healthy? Can they be managed properly? They got some guys who have been closers. You know, Ramos, like I said, makes me a little bit nervous, but I think the bullpen is going to be key. And you have a pitching coach and a manager that are going to hold these guys accountable. I think are going to go for the guy that puts them in the best position to win. I think they're going to put guys in positions to win, and that's all you could ask for. So next stop, opening day, St. Louis Cardinals, Noah Syndergaard Thursday. Looking to have a lot of fun with it. Looking to have fun with you guys this season for the regular season. Of course, I want to thank our friend Mark Healy. You can check him out on Twitter, at Mark C. Healy, and Gotham Baseball Magazine, GothamBaseball.com. I want to thank the good folks at MetsMorizedOnline.com for hosting this show. Check me out at The Grueling Truth, also on the iHeart Media Network, iHeart Radio Network. And you can check me out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy opening day. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Till then, take care. Regular season baseball is here.
Required listening with Amazon Music.
Dad music again?
The greatest guitarist of all time.
Wait, who?
Alexa, add this song to a new playlist.
Sure, what's the new playlist name?
Jack's Intro to Classic Rock.
Adding Stepping Stone by Jimi Hendrix to Jack's Intro to Classic Rock playlist.
Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you and soon he will love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime. Required listening with Amazon Music.
Dad music again?
The greatest guitarist of all time.
Wait, who?
Alexa, add this song to a new playlist.
Sure, what's the new playlist name?
Jack's Intro to Classic Rock.
Adding Stepping Stone by Jimi Hendrix to Jack's Intro to Classic Rock playlist.
Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you and soon he will love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.